I was listening to a podcast by John Piper this week, and it was on the topic of Christmas and what you should tell your kids about Santa Claus. And so after listening to that, I thought that I would go ahead and steal a few of his ideas and then also add a few of my own and put together just a few thoughts to our church on what should we tell our kids about Santa Claus. And since it is Christmas season, Santa is literally everywhere, isn't he? There is no way of avoiding the topic of Santa unless you take your children and turn off the TVs, turn off the internet, and keep them inside for about 3 months straight. There is no way to avoid Santa Claus. So it's inevitable that Santa Claus is going to come up. And one day, out of the blue, a child's going to ask you, "Mommy, is Santa Claus real? Daddy, is Santa Claus real?" And what do you tell them right at this moment? And so I want to give just three principles on this idea to help guide your answer, what to tell your child. And the first is this. First of all, as Christians, we should not lie. We should not lie. Colossians 3:9 says, "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices." Now, in this verse, are there any gray areas? Like, does it say, "Do not lie unless it's just with good intentions?" Or, "Do not lie unless it's the children?" No, it says, "Do not lie." Don't lie. Now, any reasonable adult would believe that Santa is not real. No one, at least with a sound mind, would say, yeah, Santa, he lives in the North Pole. He's a real dude, and I believe in him. No one's going to believe that. So to tell your child that he is real, what is it? It's a lie. It's a lie to your child. Whether it's a lie with a good intention or a bad intention, it is a lie. So I want to encourage you as parents, don't do this. Don't straight out lie to your kids, because the Bible tells us we should, as Christians, we should not lie. Now, as I heard Piper point out, there is a difference between lying and being brutally honest, or not being brutally honest. Being truthful is different from being brutally honest. For example, it's good to shelter your children from certain realities in this world. We don't tell our five-year-old that certain things go on. For example, yes, Paul, I know you're only five, but you must know that we're having financial problems right now, and if I don't find more work in the next couple of days, we're going to be evicted from our house. Yeah. Yes, little Susie, did you know that in Africa, some children are being stolen from their houses and being forced to join armies or become prostitutes? Yeah. We don't tell our kids that, because it's okay to shelter them from certain realities, but that is different from lying. You're not lying in this situation. You're sheltering them from the truth. When they're older, you tell them age-appropriate things. But you don't tell children the brutal, honest truth every time. So my kids have followed this principle of not lying when it comes to Santa. When they get to the age where they're like, "Daddy, is Santa real?" We say, "No, Santa is not real. But just because he isn't real doesn't mean we can't enjoy him." So there's no one that's going to come down the chimney. And when you put the cookies out, guess who's going to eat them? Daddy's going to eat them. Yep. And that's fine. The point is that we should not be lying to our children. But with that in mind, that we shouldn't be lying, there's the next principle that I want to encourage us to keep in mind, is that as Christians, we have the freedom to make our own choices on things that do not pertain to sin. So if the Bible says that something is sin, then we should not need to think about whether we do it or not. The Bible says not to lie, So we know we shouldn't lie. The Bible says not to murder. Okay, so it's not like we're thinking, should I murder or should... No, we should not murder people. But on things that are not sin, on things that are just a matter of conscience, the Bible says that we have freedom to decide. Let me read one passage from Romans chapter 14 that gives an example of this. This is from verse 1 to 6. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Verse 5, one person esteems one day as better than the other, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. And the one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. Now, this is a loaded passage, so I'm not going to touch on every part of this. But the main idea is that there were some people that believed that it was okay to eat most foods, and some people that believed it was okay to eat only certain foods because of conscience, because of what their religious ideas led them to do. There were some that believed that you should celebrate every day the same or live every day the same. Others believed that there were certain special days. And again, it was back and forth. Some believe this, some believe this. But what does Paul say? He says that whatever you decide on either of these ideas of conscience, he says, go ahead and do it, but do it in honor of the Lord. And so, again, he's not talking about sinful things. He's talking about things that are a matter of conscience. And when you have these in mind, you do it and do it in honor of the Lord. And so with this in mind, with this idea in mind, let's think about Santa Claus now. Now, is Santa Claus in and of himself sinful? No, Santa in and of itself is not sinful. So can you participate with Santa-related things and not sin? Yes, yes, you can do that. And so if your conscience allows you to do that, then have at it. Go for it. Enjoy Santa. As long as you're not lying to your kids, celebrate the Christmas season and do Santa-related things. Enjoy him, but do it while honoring the Lord with your life. But the opposite is true as well, that if you think that Santa or believing, participating with in Santa-related festivities is sinful, then have at it. Don't do it. But again, do it in honor of the Lord. And so the key is that neither side is right. Just do what your conscience leads you to do and do it while honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. And so my family, we do not believe that Santa is sinful. And so we participate in Santa-related festivities. We will turn on movies that have Santa Claus in it, and we will watch them and enjoy it just like we would enjoy any other movie that involves talking animals or a witch that offers Turkish delight or hobbits or anything else that is fictional. We'll enjoy it and watch it and have fun. And we'll do it while honoring the Lord. A week ago, or a couple of weeks ago, my daughter, we went to her to a winter wonderland at her school, and there was a Santa up on stage, and we could get a picture with Santa. My kids wanted to. We had never told them that Santa's real, but they wanted a picture of Santa, so we said, have at it. And so we had them get a picture with Santa. And just like we would do that with a mascot, or with a famous person, or with a cute animal, or anything else, we would get a picture with them and we would get a picture with Santa. And so in Christ, we have the freedom to choose to do that or to choose to not do it. But here's the third principle that I want us to think about, and this is another one that Piper mentions. It's that we should not let Santa overshadow the true magic or mystery of Christmas, and that's Jesus Christ. Don't let Santa take over baby Jesus. Now, is the Santa story what we may say is like a magical story? Yeah, it's a fun story. It's a happy story, but there is a story that's even better than that. The true story that we have, the true story of Jesus Christ coming as the God who created the whole world, as the one through whom the world was created and holds the world together. He came to this world and came as a baby. And there's this amazing, time where this teenager goes and finds out she's pregnant and doesn't know what to do. And there's angels and there's this birth scene where you're like, is she going to make it to the end? Or there's angels everywhere and celebrating. And this is just an amazing story. And we haven't even gotten to the part where Jesus grows up and conquers sin. You see, the story of Jesus Christ is the most amazing story ever. And so don't lose sight on the mystery of Jesus Christ. Friends, Santa is cute and he's jolly and he's this nice man that brings presents to people, but he's got nothing on Jesus Christ. Compared to Jesus Christ, he's nothing. And so if you are a Christian, and if you're a Christian parent, then I would challenge you, do what you want with Santa, but don't miss out on the true mystery and joy that Jesus Christ brings in this Christmas time. Tell your family, tell your children about what Jesus Christ has done, and make sure that that is the central part of Christmas.